Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Hey church, how you guys doing? I saw someone eating a tamale out there. Who has the tamales? Who's the one that had it? Get my number after this. I'm just kidding. No, I saw the tamale and it reminded me of like Thanksgiving. Do you guys do like tamales for Thanksgiving and Christmas? Or is that just, yeah? Okay. Is anyone looking forward to Thanksgiving? Is anyone like, well, whatever, Thanksgiving, let's go straight to Christmas? No, just a couple of you? Yeah, I'm neither. Now, my wife and I, we caved and we decorated our entire house all Christmas stuff. And, I know, it's crazy. Someone sent me this meme. I guess every time you celebrate Christmas before Thanksgiving, an elf gets like, never mind, I can't say that joke. But before we start, I love to be honest and I love to be open anytime I have a chance to get on the pulpit. And because I do think it's a big responsibility. And if I'm not open and if I'm not honest, then I'm not giving God all the glory, okay? And so here's what I'm gonna say. And this is me just, I'm just laying it all out there. I was struggling with today's message. I was really, really struggling with just these three verses that we're going to be covering. And when I found out that I was going to speak, I went straight to the books and I started reading the scriptures and I have a couple books on theology and I'm trying to get all of these different Bible verses and getting these, you know, just different definitions and I have all this information to make it sound good and I'm sitting there, I'm in my office and I have all this knowledge, all this information, but I can't like piece it together. And I'm going, what is going on? Like I hit this stumbling block. It was just a weird feeling. And then God revealed something to me through the people actually in this church. Right after that, I got phone call after message of people just encouraging me and reminding me that it's not me. And I realized that in my life, there is this pattern that I always go back to trying to do things on my own every time there is stuff like feelings and emotions that I haven't yet left at the altar. And I'm sitting there and then it came to my like realization that I hadn't even prayed yet. When I found out that I was gonna speak, I just went straight to, let's just get knowledge instead of, Lord, where do you want me to go? And so this happened yesterday. I came into the main sanctuary and I laid on my face and I told myself that I was not gonna get up until I fully, fully believed that God was in control. And in that process, I realized that there was really a lot of stuff inside that I was holding on to and I was kind of suppressing and that I was kind of hiding. And God showed me that because I was hiding this stuff, because there were these feelings and emotions that I was suppressing inside, it was hard for God's word to filter through my heart. And it wasn't until I laid it all out on the altar. It was a cool moment. Literally laid right here. It wasn't until I laid on the altar that from there, I just had this peace and I was like, okay, I am ready. I went back inside. I found this prayer that my wife wrote 2+ years ago. And the main prayer was, God, give Gennaro confidence that it is you working through him, not him. And so what we're gonna do tonight, we're jumping into 1 John, but before we pray, this is my hope and my prayer for all of us, is that if there is some stuff that you're suppressing, if there is things in your heart that is preventing you from opening up to allow God to filter and talk to you and guide you so that you can do whatever it is that God is calling you to do, my prayer is that we fully believe that we're gonna hear God as we jump into his word tonight. And that in that process, our faith will then have legs so that we can do the things that he's calling us to do, amen? So let's just pray this. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for your mercy and how you are always willing to reveal yourself to us. And so, Father, I pray right now over this time that we have. God, your word says where two or more gathered, your presence is there, and we believe that. Guide us through this entire process. Take over tonight's gathering, and we just thank you and we trust you in advance. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So we're jumping into 1 John, and this is going to be chapter 3, and we are starting in verse 4. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a backstory, because there is some uniqueness that is happening here in the book of John. So the whole point of it, there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 2nd and 3rd John are more of like a letter, right? And they're written because there's a crisis happening in the church. And what that crisis was is there are this false teaching and divisions that are happening, and people are starting to leave the community, right? They're being persecuted, and John's reminding the people of why we follow God. He's reminding them and encouraging them on what we need to do as believers. And in 1 John, it's more of a sermon than it is a letter. If you read it, one thing that I have seen, there's a pattern, is in all of 1 John, it talks about the same key ideas that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of John. And so many theologians say that it is pretty much, 1 John is pretty much this type of wordplay and use of this thing called amplification. And so John just does three things, and he cycles through them, three key main ideas, and that is love, life, and truth. And he cycles through these three things. But in 1 John, he hits it hard. But don't let the simplicity of this fool you, because what we're going to read is deeply, deeply profound. And I'm going to say this just ahead of time. It's harsh. They would leave me to do this part. It's harsh. Like you're going to see in a second. But there's also some goodness in John's words, which are therefore Jesus' words. So we're going to jump in. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, and it says this. It says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Pause. There's that key word, practice, and this is the Bible study that we're jumping into. John isn't talking about your occasional sin, right? He's talking about if you are practicing sin, if you are constantly making it a habit in your life, this is this habitual lifestyle of sin. If you are in a place where you are constantly just practicing, just as someone practices for a sport to get better at it, you're practicing to get better at sin, right? If you are practicing this habitual sin, you are practicing lawlessness. He hits sin at its most basic root. He's calling it for what it is. He's not saying, oh, sin is just, you know, God knows my heart. That's not what he's saying. He's saying sin is lawlessness in that next verse. And what that means is it's a disregard to the law of God, therefore a disregard to the lawmaker. If you are constantly practicing this lifestyle of habitual sin, John is saying that you are practicing lawlessness. And what's crazy about this entirety of the verse, and I wrote this down, is this is what he says. He says, he tells you and I that we are not called to sign a peace treaty with sin. He says sin is horrid. Sin is something that shouldn't be okay living in our lives. Sin is evil. He is describing, he's not beating around the bush. He's saying this is something that's bad for us, right? This practicing of the sin. And it reminded me of this story, because what he says, we're not supposed to sign a peace treaty with sin. It reminded me, so when we were younger, we had all kinds of animals growing up. It was crazy. Like there was this one time I came home from school and my mom had bought like a pony. Like, who buys a pony? You know, like just a deal on Craigslist. And we didn't have money. That's why I was just like, this thing was like $15. And it's like, what the heck? It'd kick you every time you try to grab it. It was scary. But we had ponies. We had ducks. We had dogs. We had ducks that acted like dogs. Like, they would go and chase the cats up. And chickens, hamsters. We had it, like, you name it, we had it. But the one thing that my mom was like, for sure we're not getting, were snakes, reptiles, and like a tarantula.
But our cousins had these things. So we'd go over and I'd tell my cousins like, hey, I'd take care of them if you want me to. Like, just go, you know, tell my mom. It was always a no, but there was this one time I got to take care of the snake for a week. And though I killed it at the end on accident, I know it was an accident. It froze to death. But here, this is what happened. This is completely off topic. But what ended up happening is my cousin would feed this snake live mice. That's the only way the snake would eat. If the mouse was like dead and you threw it in there, it wouldn't eat it. It was the weirdest thing. So it was just live mice. So I had to grab this, you know, mouse, and I'd be like, hey, you know, sorry, throw it in there, and then I just wouldn't look sometimes. And what ended up happening, there was this one time, I'll never forget it, but I put this mouse in this tank with this snake, and the mouse ran around all four corners and realized, all right, there's no way out. And then I left, and when I came back, I realized this little mouse somehow managed to bury the snake with like sawdust and wood chips. And you know when you like, if you've ever seen a mouse, like the way they breathe, it's just like their little lungs, you know what I'm saying? And so this little mouse was relaxed. Once it buried the snake, it was like drinking from the water. It was making it its home. Long story short, the snake woke up and mouse is like, bye-bye. But here's why I say this. You and I are not, or we're supposed to be as concerned as sin as we are as like some rattlesnake living in our home. You can bury sin all you want. You can hide sin all you want. You can say you know, it's just a secret that no one's going to find out about. But eventually what ends up happening is that this sin will eat you alive. This is why John is saying that you and I were not called to be okay with sin. He wants us to know that if you and I want to live a lifestyle of holiness, we first have to recognize the true nature and wickedness of what sin is. This is what John is saying. And then he takes it up a notch on the next verse. And this is what he says. 1 John 3 in verse 5, it says this. It says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. Pause. John here is defining the mission of Jesus Christ at its most basic root. So first, in verse 4, he says, this is what sin is, right? At its most basic root, sin is lawlessness. Sin is not just something that will kill you, but sin is something that truly, truly, truly robs you of your joy. Kind of like in the beginning when I was talking about how I had stuff and it was preventing me from even coming up here because of the stuff that I had in my heart. This is what John is saying. Like, this is what it does to you. It robs you of the things that God is calling you to do. So this is the basic root of what sin is, lawlessness. And then he says here that the basic root and the mission of Jesus Christ is to take away our sins. Church, you and I can't do that on our own. We can't take the penalty of our sin. We can't take the power of our sin. We can't take away the presence of our sin. However, when we rely and abide in Jesus, not only is that penalty taken away, not only is that power taken away, but eventually when we go into eternity and when we are glorified with him, the presence of sin is taken away. And that is something worth celebrating for. And he can do this because at the end of that verse, in verse 5, it says, and in him there is no sin. There is a work of Jesus in our life that we are commanded to do. But nevertheless, it is his work alone in us. That is why we need to abide in Christ. But the question still stands. Because if the sin isn't taken away, the presence of sin, if that's not taken away until we die, that means from here on out, from here until we go and we meet Jesus, there will always be this tendency to sin. So the question is, if the presence of sin will always be around, how can you and I honor God? Right? If the presence of sin isn't gone, isn't taken away until you die, how do we honor God in this? And then check this out. 1 John 3, verse 6. It says this. It says, no one who abides in him sins. Pause again. Because I read this verse and I'm going, wait, what? No one who abides in him sins? Context, context, context. This is the same type of grammar that he's using in verse 4 where he says practicing sin. Right? He, you can tell already, John's not talking about this perfect sinless life. Right? Because in 1 John, I believe it's 1 verse 8, it says, if we say we have sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So John has already talked about that if we say we have no sin in our lives, we're liars. So he's not talking about this sinless perfection. The wording here, no one who abides in him sins. John is saying that in this verse, it is a settled, continued lifestyle of sin. And the crazy part is that next verse, and no one who sins has seen him or knows him. No one who continues this lifestyle of sin has seen or known God. Not my words, John's words. That's harsh. But if you look, there's options. You either abide in sin or you abide in God. And as I was praying, I thought of this analogy. It's like if you had a candle, right? If Jesus is the light in our lives and we have this candle and sin is darkness, and you lit that candle up and you walked into a dark room, okay? You, candle, a dark room. And where you go, that's where the darkness is going to be gone, right? Where you go, the light is going to shine. But the moment you blow out that candle, you're consumed by darkness. The light doesn't stay where you recently traveled, right? You guys going where I'm going? In the same way, there's no in-between. You're either constantly in the presence of Jesus, which will help you in stopping the tendency to sin. You're abiding in him, or you blow out the candle and you're just consumed in darkness and you're abiding in the darkness. No in between. But you do have an option. And what I love about this option is that it doesn't take much to light the candle. One of my favorite encounters I have had recently, I have the opportunity to go to public schools and share the gospel. And it's been God the whole time. And one of the schools that I go to is North High. I get to go to North High for their FCA, and we share the gospel there. And there's a few other schools, but there's North High in particular. There was a Friday, a couple Fridays ago, there was a kid who came in for the first time. And it's during lunch, so it's not this thing where it's you have to be a Christian or you have to be an athlete. Anyone can come in. And so people are coming in and out constantly. But for the most part, it's just they're believers. There was this one guy who walked in. His name was Micah. He comes in and he sits down. And it was pretty cool. We had a good conversation with him. But he said, honestly, like, I don't believe. I'm just here to hang out. I said, that's fine. Like, you can just hang out. I go and I had 15 minutes to just share the gospel. So I'm out there and I'm sharing the gospel. And by the time we're leaving, I was like, hey, dude, you know, how'd you like it? And he came up to me and he said, I don't know what it is, but I felt like home. And then the next Friday, he showed up. And then the next Friday, he showed up. It wasn't even him wanting to, like, he's never been to church. He's never opened up the Bible in his life. All he did was show up to a sermon that he didn't even want to be a part of, and God spoke to him. The candle was lit. Do you see where I'm going with this, though? It doesn't take much for us to really acknowledge the Lord and for him to acknowledge you. There is so much grace and love in that. And so what we're going to do as we close out, what I want to do is, if you've been here, this is probably your 100th time. You've probably sat through who knows how many sermons or watched sermons online, and that's cool, that's okay, that's great. But if you've never truly asked God for forgiveness, or if you've never really tried in your walk with God, it's more or less some kind of checklist. Would you just take the time today to bring out whatever it is that you're suppressing? And I'm not saying this just because it's the Christian thing to do. I'm saying this because I never want to preach off of opinion, right? Or just random knowledge. I just want to share the gospel. And what scripture says, that if you taste and you've seen, that's all it takes. If you just taste and see that the Lord is good. But in order for you to taste and see, you have to allow your heart to receive what it is that God is trying to show you, because he wants love and he's getting ready to just give that to you along with so many other things. Is it going to be a process? 1,000%. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. But is it worth it? And if this is your first time, if this is your first time coming to church, and you're going, I don't even know where to go from here, but all I know is that this guy's talking about sin and it's just harsh, but let me just say this. The reason why John is talking so deeply about this sin, again, it's because he knows it's an attack on your relationship. It stumps you in your growth. But this is how good God is. Check this out. This last verse, this is 1 John 1:9, and it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is power among that. That last Friday that Micah showed up, he was like, yo, I don't even know where to start from here. But I want a relationship with God. That's all it took. Just for you to recognize what it is that is in your heart. Just to recognize the sin. It's as simple as that. And so I'm gonna ask the prayer team if they can come up. And as the prayer team comes up, we'll be here too. But again, I always use this phrase. There's this word, it's called sometimes or someday. And the word sometimes and someday, like, that just never really comes. If you think about it and you go, oh, you know, some, like, I'm busy today, I'm tired, I just got off work, but you know, someday I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna confess my sins. Someday I'm gonna really take it seriously in my walk with God. But what someday is, it's this illusion that one day you're gonna get it right. And that one day never really comes. Scripture says that we're not even promised tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow is gonna be here for us. We spend so much time worrying about the future when you can change your future today with the actions that you do right now. And God's waiting. He's waiting and he's ready. I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna be down here, and I just encourage you guys, please, 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 community is important. Just come have a conversation with us. If you want us to just listen, we'll listen. Let's pray this. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for your truth. Lord, I pray that every single person in this room, we would have the same type of hatred towards sin as you do. God, I pray that we would open our eyes and see what you're really doing in our lives. God, I pray for your love to be received into every single heart tonight. And it is that love that wants us to change. So God, we trust you. We love you. Bless the prayers that are going to happen tonight. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to be doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, guys. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our